everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy John. We are off and running on Tuesday, the 9th day of January 2024. Last week, we launched the start of year 14 with the radio program, my 36th year here in Tucson Media. We come to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI. The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for all of our podcasts going back 13 full years. A lot of content there. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We begin on the live line with Dr. George Hammond, Director and Research Professor, Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Dr. Hammond, how are you? Happy New Year.
Hi, Bill. I'm doing great. Happy New Year to you.
So we've got the Arizona economy continuing to churn out solid jobs, income, and sales gains, but things may be slowing a bit.
Yes. Arizona, Phoenix, and Tucson are growing at a solid pace. But I think as the national economy slows, as we go through 2024, we'll see a little bit slower growth here in Arizona, but it won't be a drastic slowdown.
What are you talking about? What are you saying generally? If you we've said goodbye to 2023, was it a pretty good year for Arizona's economy, Dr. Hammond?
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed year in Arizona as it was for the national economy. We generated, solid to good job growth. Income rose at a solid pace. Taxable sales were up, population increased. But, kind of the clouds that we experienced were, still rapid inflation in 2023. Overall price levels remain elevated, and housing affordability has fallen, significantly compared to where we were before the pandemic. So, there were some bright spots, but there were certainly some areas to be concerned about.
Let's zero in a bit on the housing area. Go ahead with some of these prices.
In 2021 and 2022, we saw, Tucson house prices rising over the year at 20% to 30%. That's over. House prices are still rising, but at a much slower pace. In Tucson, they were up about 4.9% over the year in November. The house prices across the state and in Tucson remain at really elevated levels. In November, Tucson's single-family house price was almost $378,000, and that's the median house price. When you put these elevated house prices together with a rough doubling in mortgage interest rates, what you get is a gigantic decrease in housing affordability. And in the third quarter, the latest quarter for which we have data, the housing affordability index from the National Association of Home Builders and Wells Fargo suggests that just 33.8% of homes sold in Tucson were affordable to a family making the median income. And that's down from pre-pandemic levels of just over 71%. So it's a huge drop in housing affordability that we've seen here in Tucson. It's even worse up in Phoenix. And we've seen, something not quite as bad, but, certainly in the same ballpark happen nationally.
You would think with those numbers that would slow the demand. Is that what you are expecting in 2024 in Tucson specifically?
Well, we've certainly seen that generate a hit in housing sales. We've also seen housing permit activity drop off through the first 11 months of 2023. Latest data we have is through November. Total housing permits in Arizona are down 7.7%. Single-family permits down 11.6%. And, you know, something roughly similar in Phoenix and Tucson. So, you know, the higher interest rates and high prices are having an impact on sales and building activity.
Is there any relief in the rent sector, the rental sector?
Yeah, rents rose very rapidly during the pandemic, as did house prices. Tucson's rents went from far below the national average to basically at the national average for one and two bedroom apartments. Phoenix went from about the national average before the pandemic began to well above the national average. Rents in Phoenix and nationally are actually starting to come down. Phoenix rents, again, for one and two bedroom apartments were down 4.3% over the year in October. Tucson rents still rising in October at up 2% over the year, and nationally rents have stabilized and even come down just a little bit at down 1.2% over the year.
So the average renter pays about what in the Tucson area, Dr. Hammond?
In Tucson, rent for one and two bedroom apartments is averages $1,359. That's below the Phoenix. Median rent of $1,547. The U.S. median was at $1,354 in October.
Let's circle back to jobs. What were some of the strong sectors and some of the weak sectors?
Well, in Tucson, over the year, we've seen some recovery in government jobs, which have really struggled to recover from the pandemic. They were up about 3,000 over the year. Manufacturing jobs across the nation and in Arizona have done well. They've actually done much better here in Arizona, including Phoenix and Tucson, than they have nationally. And we're also seeing things like financial activities, construction jobs have done fairly well, also adding jobs. Where we're not seeing much job growth, especially here in Tucson, is in leisure and hospitality, professional and business services, especially the call center sector, and healthcare. Those jobs have both struggled to recover from the pandemic shock here in Tucson, and they really haven't been growing nearly as rapidly as they have been across the state and nationally.
There's been a lot of people were quitting and then taking time off, then hiring. Do you track something called the Arizona quit and hire rate?
Absolutely. We do track that. It's data that comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. During the pandemic, quit rates and hire rates both really skyrocketed. People were changing jobs at a really rapid rate and getting hired at new jobs at a rapid rate. Overall, there was just this huge amount of churn in the state and national labor markets as employees switched jobs, looked for new careers, chased higher wages. That has begun to normalize, and we're seeing those quit and hire rates come back to, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of where they were before the pandemic began. So even though unemployment rates remain low, you know, Arizona's seasonally adjusted rate was 4.3% in November. The labor market is still tight, but there are some modest signs of at least a little bit of a return to normal.
And the inflation area, what do you have to say about that?
Overall, the Phoenix Consumer Price Index was up 2.9% over the year in October, the latest data. That's, you know, right in the neighborhood of the national average at 3.2%. So in terms of how fast prices are rising, you know, Phoenix, after, you know, far exceeding the national inflation rate last year, is basically back to the national rate. And that's good news, certainly, but you know, even so, the price level is far above where it was before the pandemic began. So for, you know, the all items index, which, you know, is a weighted average of the goods and services that you and I buy as part of our daily lives, that overall price index in Phoenix is up 24.4% from where it was before the pandemic began. And that's a bit higher than average prices nationally, which are up 19.6% from where they were before the pandemic began. So inflation has come down, but that just means prices aren't rising as rapidly as they were in 2022 and 2023 even.
All right. Before we let you go, before we let you go, population growth, is it slowing in Arizona?
Yeah, population growth slowed in Arizona as of July of 2023. We're seeing the same thing happening across Phoenix and Tucson. And what's driving that is essentially a normalization of migration. We saw a big boost to migration during the pandemic with more people able to work from home. And many people moved to Arizona to take advantage of that. But that was a one-time thing, and overall migration rates are returning to normal, and that's slowing population growth.
All right. We can find out more at azeconomy.org. And what about your dashboard?
The MAP dashboard is at mapazdashboard.arizona.edu.
All right, Dr. Hammond, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
George Hammond, the director and research professor, Economic and Business Research Center, Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. We thank Professor Hammond. All right, and we thank Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast at 6:30, and they, of course, as I say, home of the Danish Kringle, but a lot more than the Kringle. They've got a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. Their website will tempt you with some great pictures of everything, pretty much everything on the menu. That's at monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman, giving me a very enthusiastic thumbs down. Well, it's Tuesday at 12:15 or so. What do you expect? Be right back with Shelley. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez since 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez since 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezsince67.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Great One, Mark Levin. Live weekday afternoons 4 to 7 on 1030 The Voice. Tucson's only live local news and talk.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how's your week going so far?
My week is going great. It's chilly. I wonder why I didn't move someplace warm.
Yeah, I know. This is, has us both dreaming of warmer climes. But, of course, back up 6 months.
Back up 30 days.
Yeah, 30. We've been dreaming of a day like this. So we dream of good days on Tuesday. Unfortunately, on the markets, not happening today.
Nah, today's a bit of a down day. We have concerns among investors about the likelihood of a government shutdown. There's also this concern, especially in the Dow, because the S&P is pretty much flat, and the Nasdaq is up a little bit today. But what's going on in the Dow is Boeing.
Yeah. That's the concern over the loose bolts.
Exactly, and the companies that supply Boeing and use Boeing products. So the Dow Industrial 30, big 30 industrial companies are subject to this kind of I will use a scientific word for it, shtus. and so you're seeing some volatility in the Dow. Yesterday, the Dow was down for a while and then wound up a bunch.
Yeah.
So, you don't really know. What we're hearing, of course, from our Washington people is that we've got about 10 days left to avoid a government shutdown, and there's no deal.
I hope there will be a deal. We don't need a government shutdown. Every time I hear a news clip about people talking about the economy, they say, well, all it takes is going to the grocery store and prices are so much higher that the overall economy just can't be good. I'm paying so much more.
Well, as a marketing person, I learned the marketing mantra, which is perception is reality.
Yeah.
For individuals, perception is reality. But if perception is reality, then why are they spending so much? We have consumer confidence is very, very positive. We have consumers just spending like crazy. We heard Dr. Hammond earlier talking about the fact that prices certainly due to the pandemic did rise, and they are now back down at a level month to month that is very close to what the Fed is looking for. However, you have a year and a half, 2 years of 7, 8, 9% inflation. For people to expect that those prices are ever coming back down, they might in some sectors like housing and fuel come down a bit. But, by and large, once prices go up, they don't come down. I mean, I was just remembering wistfully back in 1973, 1974, when you could buy a whole chicken for 25 cents a pound.
How about today?
Today it's closer to $3.
yeah.
But then again, the wages, the average wage is also probably some multiple of that as well, because wages have gone up. Now, what's true is that for middle-class Americans, adjusted for inflation, wages have been flat. So that if you're in the middle class, if you're the median kind of income earner, you don't perceive that you're better off. You don't perceive that you're worse off. What we know is that over the past couple of years, for wage earners in the bottom 40% of wage earning, that the wages have gone up faster by 2% than inflation. And when you then add back in the stimulus, that makes that whole category of wage earners better off despite inflation than they were a couple of years ago. Now, people don't necessarily perceive it that way because they see a $3 a pound chicken, or they see that gas has, even though it's come back down now to some level at around $2.30, $2.40 adjusted for inflation. They remember when it was $4 a couple of months ago. What they don't recall is that when you adjust gas for inflation, and I just got curious, and so I took a look at gas prices for the past gazillion years. In 1978, adjusted for inflation, gas was $2.44 a gallon. Now, in actuality, it was 65 cents a gallon. But again, normalized, because you have to normalize it, to 2020 prices, gas was about where it is today.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really acknowledge that when you go to the gas pump and, you know, you see it's $40 or $50 to fill up your tank. But in macro terms, we're in pretty good shape. We had a very good, I shouldn't say that, we had a very mixed report of job growth on Friday, and the economy added 216,000 new jobs. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that jobs were revised down for the November and October numbers by about 70,000. When you net all of that out, in 2023, we added about 2.7 million new jobs in the past year. That's bizarrely good. You know, again, we're not still recovering from the pandemic in terms of jobs. We've recovered from the pandemic in terms of jobs. The normal average job growth in this country has been about 170,000 jobs, or about 2 million a year. We're at 2.7 million this year. There are 2.4 jobs open, available right now for every person who's looking for a job. So, yeah, and the unemployment rate stayed steady at around 3.7%.
So the for-hiring sign is still out.
Still out.
It's out everywhere.
And you know, what we know is that the increase in wages, especially where it counts the most, down at the, you know, the bottom third, if you will, of wage earners, is where a lot of these, you know, wage increases have occurred. So there is some indication that the middle class is actually going to come out of this past couple of years better off than when it went into them. Middle class wages, going back to, you know, pretty much the end of World War II, are essentially flat, adjusted for inflation, which means that all the real growth in GDP has gone to the top 10%.
And again, the U.S. economy is not the same as your family budget.
Oh, gosh. That's right. Now you're getting into deficits and the family budget. The family budget has to be in balance. If it's not in balance, you go to jail because you get into debt. You can't pay the debt. And, you know, they come looking for you. Yeah, you can delay it with credit cards. You can, you know, zig and zag. You can get another job, whatever. But family budgets pretty much have to be in balance, because you as a family can't print money.
Yeah.
The federal government can, and it can print it for the entire world, because we are the base economy against which all other other currencies are measured. So when, you know, if you're another country in the industrialized world, you invest in a lot of treasury bonds because that's your stabilization. So the U.S. government prints money. It doesn't actually go and print money, but what it does is it issues debt. And I have heard mostly from Republicans, but from a lot of Democrats as well, oh, for as long as I've been alive, that this national debt is going to sink us, and it's going to cause the kind of inflation that Germany had, you know, after World War I. Well, we've been running deficits now pretty much since the middle of the Reagan years, you know, in post-World War II. And I don't recall you know, that kind of inflation happening. In fact, it didn't happen.
We haven't talked about CEO wages.
Oh, well, there was inflation.
Go.
That's a different guy.
I mean,
in the top 10%,
some of these people,
they
are they
everything.
Worth right. $200 million a year,
right.
other than some of these ball players?
But it is so important, Bill, to understand that for middle-class people, their real wages have been pretty much flat for the past 40 or 50 years.
It's true.
In terms of inflation, in terms of deficits, we do not know what this economy can stand in terms of deficits.
Yep.
You know, we see numbers that are really high numbers and they scare the heck out of a lot of people, but we don't know what we can stand. And that's the thing that, you know, you just have to put in the back of your mind that given this economy, given our position in an integrated worldwide, you know, fundamentally integrated economic system, we don't know how much deficit spending is really dangerous. Now, a prudent person would say we've got to get it under control. But, you know, that's something that we have to be really careful about, just falling into that trap of saying we've got to cut spending. We probably do, but we don't know how much.
All right, Shelley, good job as usual. We will catch up with you 1 week from today. Thanks,
Shelley. See you then.
All right.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckminster.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckminster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. This portion presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things, 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. Everything you need for your garden. And now that the cold weather, well, not cold weather, it's not gone. Well, the hard freeze, hopefully that will be the last one of the season, but who knows? But anyway, the folks at Green Things can steer you in the right direction so your plants will survive a cold winter. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are the websites open daily in their 53rd year of business. The Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line. General Ted Maxwell has led the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO since 2018. He served nearly 34 years in the military. His service included 15 years of active duty in the Air Force, additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a major general in 2018. His final military position, commander, Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, then-Governor Ducey appointed the general to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He's also the ADOT representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. So we have lots to unpack with General Maxwell. General Maxwell, hope the new year is off to a good start for you, and want to give you a little plug. The new show we're airing here called Jump in Tucson from 9 to 10 will feature you on Tuesday. Congratulations.
Thank you, Bill, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners. And thank you for the plug. Today was the first opportunity I had to be on the other side of the microphone and talk about, you know, I want to thank Ed Ackerley for bringing me in. It's one of the five contributing members of Jump In Tucson. And for Tuesdays, our focus is on engagement and how to get to more citizens and people and individuals who maybe see problems that they have some ideas how to fix, maybe have a desire to run for up, and how to get people engaged. You know, citizens of the United States, we've got a lot of rights and we've got a lot of responsibilities. And one of them is to make sure we're engaged. And that was what we focused on. And this morning, it was a great conversation with Jaime Chamberlain, who is currently serving as the chair of the board of the greater Santa Cruz and Nogales Port Authority. And we talked a lot about the border challenges, and specifically on those at the actual ports of entry, where we've got, you know, almost 20 million people every year that cross the border in and out of Mexico.
I want to ask you a bit about I-10. I'm understanding we're going to get about 4-mile segment of I-10 between Ina and Ruthcroft roads. Going to have some work done there. This is an ADOT project. Is that correct?
That is correct, and you've seen those constructions already begun. There's already lanes, and we're using the access roads. This has been on our 5-year plan for quite a while, because as anybody who drives through that section of I-10, especially since it's the only highway and bypass that we have through and or around the city of Tucson, it can get a lot. It can get very busy. So we need to expand the roads there, get it to, 4 lanes throughout, and that will help the what I call the daily traffic. And it really has the biggest impact on residents of Pima County. But obviously, I-10 is a road, a federal highway that is used not only by us residents of Pima County, but also by trucks and vehicles trying to get goods throughout the country.
When, so you say that this is, what's the timetable on that? They will finish up when, hopefully?
Well, my understanding is that we're hoping to be finished up in the September-October timeframe of this year. But those, as with all road projects and the cost and everything's increasing, we've got to take a good look at that. And I will actually reach out and find if there's an update on when we believe that section of the I-10 will be complete.
All right. While we're talking about transportation, my friend Tim Steller, the award-winning columnist for The Star, had a piece about the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority, and the RTA Next program. And Tim was talking about that the city of Tucson may decide to go it alone. Big mistake, General Maxwell?
Oh, absolutely, in my opinion. You know, I was quoted in that article by Tim, and he got me absolutely correct. And he made the statement in his own article that my position, that I've been beating, in his words, I've been beating, banging the drum repeatedly and justifiability on the need for a regional solution. And he even said, rightfully so. So it is one of those issues that the funding for new and improved infrastructure has to be taken, take a regional approach. I understand the city of Tucson and their citizens have their priorities, but that's no different than Marana having their priorities. That's no different than Oro Valley having their priorities. But the only place that you get a community-wide perspective is during, if the conversation is going to be regional. If you look at the alternative, if we don't continue the RTA with RTA Next, and again, that plan is still in development, so it's hard to talk total specifics on it, but if you don't do that, we lose the funding that's coming to this region, and the RTA provides more than two times the amount of funding for infrastructure in our region than either federal or state funds do. But if we lose that funding and rely on the individual cities to go at their own, and I've heard that it's viable. Marana's got a growing tax base. They believe they can take care of their needs. The city of Tucson obviously has the Move Tucson program. They've got their priorities, and obviously they've got a large tax base. They could go it alone as well. But even if all the municipalities were to instill another half cent on their own, we've got nobody that's ensuring that all these individual priorities act collaboratively for the good of our region. And the growth is coming to Southern Arizona. Hey, Bill, you've lived here a lot longer than I have. I've been here since 99. I'm not going anywhere. I love it here. But there are people every year who come to Tucson and Pima County and Southern Arizona and say, I want to stay here. This is where I either want to retire or this is where I want to bring my family and raise them. And if we don't have a regional approach to our connectivity, it's going to cause some significant problems both for the city and for all – when I say the city, I talk about the city of Tucson. But it's also going to cause problems for all the municipalities because the half-cent countywide continuation, and that's really what we're going to be asking the voters, do you want to continue paying for infrastructure the way you've done it for the last 20 years? That half-cent is going to bring in a lot more money than all the individual municipalities if you add them up because there's a big segment – 36% of our population lives in unincorporated Pima County, and they won't add a half cent sales tax. The only way they could do that is by a unanimous vote of the Board of Supervisors, and I don't see that coming anytime soon. So not only will we have less money, it won't be coordinated, and it won't ensure connectivity. And as we've talked about before, you know, I work, I play, I come down to the city of Tucson all the time. I want to support the city of Tucson. But I also have to have infrastructure that's going to allow me to get from where I live in Oro Valley down here. And it's beneficial both for the city and for the outlying municipalities.
And we can't count on a lot of state and federal money coming down the pipeline.
Well Bill, we've talked before about the state budget inside of ADOT. And when I first got on the board 3 years ago, there was $0 for expansion. Zero. Beyond 2026. And the reason was, is that's when the Maricopa and the Pima regional funding would expire. It's that regional funding that gives us dollars for expansion. And it hurts greater Arizona as well, because when we regionally help fund our expansion of roadways, that does free up some dollars for roadway expansion outside of Pima and Maricopa County. But what we've kind of are sitting on a little falsehood right now, Bill, because IIJA inserted a lot of money in our infrastructure systems as a way of boosting our economy, getting things going. But people forget the IIJA is only a five-year plan. The costs of road construction continue to gone up, and there's no guarantee that the federal government will reauthorize such a significant infrastructure plan when it expires now in a couple of years.
All right, General Ted Maxwell, stick around. I want to get your take on the governor's annual State of the State address. That was yesterday. I want to hear what you have to say, your take on it. But first, let's take a break. It's Buckmaster on a Tuesday afternoon. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios is, well, that's where we are. That's where we're coming to you from, KVOI. Also want to talk about our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Their website, just chock full of great information about all the many recreation activities over in that area, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, what to do, where to stay, and even some great places to eat as well in historic downtown Silver City. Again, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. We continue now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. General Ted Maxwell leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, president and CEO since 2018. Had a listener question during the break, General, about Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Does the council take positions on local elections?
Bill, we do not. We have not done endorsements. Now, we will do candidate interviews. We will provide those interviews and our feedback from them to our membership as a whole, but we do not take positions with regards to actual partisan races and or primaries. We don't play there. Now, that said, we do take positions on initiatives, propositions, anything else that's going to be on the ballot that's not a specific partisan issue. We will take positions on what we believe is best for the community, for the region, and for the state.
This listener was curious about local propositions like the one that gave the mayor and the council here in Tucson a pay raise. Did your organization endorse that?
So, SALC did not endorse that this year. We did not oppose it either, but historically we've been supportive of the pay raises that were proposed. We on this one, it was more of a split feeling amongst our board members. Some thought it was a reach. And probably the biggest concern is tying it to something that was outside of the city of Tucson's control. So ironically, now the city of Tucson mayor and council salaries will be determined at the state legislature, because that's who adjusts and approves all county salaries. So on that issue specifically this year, SALC did not take a position.
Governor Hobbs, the Democratic governor, gave her second State of the State address yesterday. She wants to expand down payment assistance and mortgage rate relief for families making 80% or less of an area's median income. That seems to be the signature piece in the State of the State. What did you take away from it?
Well, it's really interesting, Bill, because a lot of times the State of the State's are really the precursor to the budget on Friday. And when the governor releases her official budget proposal on Friday, that's will really be the telltale sign of what it is that she wants and what it is that the governor and her leadership team believe are best for Arizona. It's kind of like the old budgeting statement in a household. You find out what people care about by where they budget their expenses, and you find about what and, you know, government agencies also care about when you see where they're spending their money. So the biggest thing I took away from yesterday's is I found it really fascinating to kind of watch the order of the issues she addressed. And I thought it was quite significant. While it's predominantly a federal issue, the governor opened with the discussion on securing the Southern Arizona border. Both in between the ports, but also at the ports of entry, on how we can make those most efficient and effective. I mean, I think it got everybody's attention when the federal government closed Lukeville, which was absolutely unacceptable to the majority of the citizens in the state of Arizona and both to the Democratic and Republican leadership. It was a stretch, especially to be closing it at that time of the year, and it had huge ramifications on both sides of the border. So I was very interested to see that was the first issue she brought up, and basically called on the federal government that they need to fulfill their duty, and that she would do everything she could to make sure that she called them out on that. And then almost immediately after that, she went into she talked about the fiscal shortage, and that was a big one, but she also wanted to emphasize that we have a thriving economy in the state. And that kind of sets the tone to me on let's not tinker with things. There's a big movement at the state legislature there is a movement at the state legislature to eliminate the ACA. But the ACA's ramifications on bringing jobs, business, and basically funding to the state of Arizona has been enormous. And so I think that's something SALC and many of the business organizations are going to watch closely. And the governor has been a supporter of keeping ACA alive and well, because we know it has helped create that thriving economy. So those were some of the issues she got to before she hit affordable housing. But I do believe when we see what the budget says, we'll find out what kind of chutzpah there is really behind, or desire there is behind, the Arizona's Home Mortgage Assistance Program. We know that.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say that regulating groundwater outside of Phoenix and Tucson, it's kind of the Wild West. And she did bring that up. She would like to see rural areas have more say about regulating groundwater.
And that's always been a challenge in Arizona. There's been a large divide between our property rights entitle you to water, and that's where you get a lot of the whoever can build, drill deeper is going to have access to the water, because as most of us are aware, the water underneath the ground really is a series of lakes and rivers, and it does maneuver throughout the different regions. And I do think that is an issue as we go forward with our water surety in the state needs to be addressed, as both it goes back to budgeting for what you find valuable. Well, you also have to have the ability to measure what you find valuable. And outside of the AMAs, there's not as much measurement for what the status of the groundwater is. And it's important that you measure that so you can make good, solid, sound policy advice decisions based on what to do with that water. The one thing I would like to point out, though, Bill, is people forget how good Arizona has been at managing our water supplies and our water usage. Today, we use the same amount of water that we used approximately 40 years ago, despite having more than doubled the population, because we've been efficient, effective, innovative on how we use that. We need to continue to conserve, Ted's opinion, but conservation alone will not solve our water problems. Arizona is an in-migration state. We're growing with people from throughout the United States are moving to Arizona, and that's not going to stop. And so we need to address how we are going to measure and manage water going forward.
How about
politics? With all good things.
How about politics? General, how about the politics of this session? What do you see there? And I've got about one minute to go.
Bill, this will be real easy. Hold on tight. It's going to be, this is an election year.
Yes.
It's probably one of the most divisive election years I think we've faced in several, and we've had some doozies before. But I will tell you, there's a lot of folks that are going to consider the ramifications it may have on either their elections, their next office that they're going for, and it's going to be a challenge. Funding is going to be an issue that came up in the governor's speech yesterday. We are facing a potential shortfall, but I'll tell you, it's not unsolvable. There's a lot of different ways to do it. And the question is, can we get all the legislators on board with coming up with one that they can all agree to and help the state move forward with our current budget situation?
All right, General Ted Maxwell, folks can listen to him, and I hope they will, every Tuesday here on KVOI, 9 to 10, on a show called Roll on Tucson. I think I got that right.
Jump in Tucson.
Jump in Tucson. All right, still getting it there. All right, General
Absolutely,
Maxwell.
Bill, we all are.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hope the new year goes very well for you. Thank you, sir. All right. That'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of General Maxwell and John, engineering and producing our program, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Looking forward to being with you tomorrow. Dr. Victoria Mazes will be with us tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. So hope you have a great afternoon.